Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you in here live on a Thursday night in our regular spot, the comfy confines of the Water Street Bar and Grill on a Thursday evening. This is the Investors Bank High School Football Show, and along with Ed Saraluca, I'm Matt Harmon. Kevin Williams out again tonight dealing with a family situation, which we're looking forward to get Kevin back into the fold next week, as we will take the week off this week because of a conflict with Monmouth University. The Hawks will open up their basketball schedule tomorrow down in West Virginia, so no game for us on the air tomorrow. We'll be back on next Friday night. Promise about that for the semifinal round. But, Ed, it's an exciting time around the state right now. Before we go back, let's just touch on obviously, the second season, which begins for a lot of teams tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll have 20 games, involving Shore teams, Matt. 24 total teams will enter the playoff run for a state championship, a sectional state championship. Four of those games will be head-to-head contests with Shore area teams. So we'll at least have four teams in the semis after this weekend's action.
Early indications would say that the Central Jersey brackets will have a little bit easier of a time perhaps making the finals as the South Jersey teams will. There are some tough roads for those that have qualified in some of the South Jersey brackets.
Yeah, you know, with the severe injury to St. John Erskine of Barnegat, who everybody sort of thought maybe had a shot in that Central 2, that has hurt their chances. Central in South Jersey 3 does have a chance to win maybe one game. Not sure if they could go all the way to the finals and win it all. The other team, two teams down there, Brick Memorial and Toms River North, are both in South Jersey 5, up against some pretty good teams down there. But as we have said all year, that division is pretty wide open. And if either of those teams put together a good football game, both will play Friday night, tomorrow night, they could just create an upset in that bracket there and get themselves into the semifinals.
Well, that's what we say in the broadcasting realm, opening the door. So let's talk about Jackson for just a second, as we covered them last week in their game against Red Bank Catholic, an overtime win for the Jags, which I hate to say shocked the Shore, because Jackson's a pretty good football team, but I don't know any other way, Ed, to really describe that game last week.
Yeah, it was a tremendous football game, easily the best game that we have broadcast all year. I mean, we have had many blowout games in the course of our schedule, but that one lived up to the billing. It was a tremendous football game. RBC had come in winning 40 straight against Shore Conference opponents. That streak is now over. Somebody's got to start a new one right now, you know. And it just, they just dominated the front line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, and I thought were the better team that night, even though it was an overtime victory. And when you get into overtime, anything could happen. Either team could have won that one. RBC had the ball first, was stopped on defense by Jackson, and then Jackson, three downs, they were in the end zone with Mike Golick, the outstanding young sophomore, scoring his third touchdowns from 18 yards out to win it for the Jaguars. And pandemonium at the Jaguar field.
Let's talk about the implications of that game. Not necessarily anything in terms of the state. We talked about that last weekend on a broadcast, as both of those teams had played their eight games prior to the cutoff. But during the course of last weekend, a lot of divisions finally were decided, clinching outright Manalapan, St. John Vianney, Brick, Red Bank Catholic, and Shore Regional. The only division that is still up for grabs is the B-South, of which Central has clinched at least a share of. A Barnegat win on Thanksgiving Day over Pinelands would give the Bengals part of that division championship as well. So, Ed, 5 of the 6, and, you know, going into last week, there were a lot of ties, but no one had really claimed anything as of yet. That really one of the other themes from this past weekend.
I think with the advent of teams playing 9 straight games, doing away with Thanksgiving, you know, that has created a schedule where these teams have played all of their conference games already. And I don't remember ever a year you know, being played where five of the six champions have already been decided and we're, you know, barely out of the first week of November.
Well, let's say this. I like it that way.
Oh, I love it that way.
You get it out of the way. You don't have to worry about anything over the course of the next couple of weeks. You can really just focus on the playoffs. It's the way that it should be. We'll talk about some of the interesting parts of the playoff brackets during the course of the show tonight, which why don't we talk about the show tonight? We've got our regular spots coming in the second part of the show with, of course, Scott Stump and Kevin Callahan will talk some Monmouth University football, but happy to be tonight as we continue our theme of one team from Monmouth, one team from Ocean, from the home of the Scarlet Flyers. The gang from Neptune has made their way down. The head coach, Rodney Taylor, in his first year, and his outstanding two-way lineman, Andrew Holland Samuels. And a little bit later on in this first hour, we'll talk things over with L.J. Clark in his fourth year as the Lakewood Pioneer head coach, and Chappelle Cook, his outstanding, very talented senior quarterback. Ed, a couple other games from last week that maybe stood out to you in terms of just that impact as you look. There were some teams, Neptune among them, and we'll spend time on that later on, but they were a team that needed that win, like a couple others, to make sure that they qualified for the playoffs.
Yeah, and that win was over Toms River North, another shutout win, their third in a row, their fifth overall win in a row, got themselves a home game. You know, that they will be one of the teams that will play a common opponent in the Shore. They will match up against Freehold Borough, who started this season 7-0 and have lost their last two by wide margin. So Neptune coming in sky high, Freehold going the other way. But the team that, if you could say it, has gone in under the radar into these Central Jersey playoffs, it's Middletown South. Third in the bracket with a loss last week. They were looking at maybe not even making it in that Central Jersey four. Well, they vault everybody and get themselves a top seed in Central four. And, of course, the top seed means that you'll be home at least two times. Usually the championship games are at neutral sites, possibly Rutgers, MetLife, or Kane University. But they jumped Jackson and Brick to get themselves a top seed.
And that was something to show you how in tune some of the coaches are. We talked with Walt Kristopic after the game last night.
He was right on.
And immediately said, when we said Middletown South won, oh, no, they're going to jump over both of us,
yeah.
Which does set up a really interesting semifinal, as you talked about, between Brick and Jackson. But, you know, I thought last week was kind of an interesting week. There were teams in different spots. They knew they were in the playoffs because they had already played their eight games, or other teams that knew that they weren't in the playoffs because they had already played their eight games. But then some of those teams, like we mentioned, in Neptune or Middletown South, who with the win picked up major points and was able to bounce ahead. But I would agree. You know, the themes from the week, wrapping things up in the regular season for a lot of teams and looking ahead now to the state playoffs, which is just such a fun time around the year.
Yeah, I had a chance to see St. John Vianney. I had not seen them. We had Anthony Brown on last week and Mark Ciccatelli. I went to see that Manasquan game on Saturday afternoon at Manasquan. 34-7 victory for the Lancers. Only team in the Shore undefeated still, Matt, with their tremendous record of 9-0 going into the playoffs. Of course, they are in the bracket with the big dogs, Del Barton, St. Joe Montvale, and RBC. Tough job to get advance in that bracket, but hey, undefeated, championship in the Central, A Central division already. They're rolling.
Let's talk a little bit about, and we'll have some fun with it later tonight when we talk with Scott Stump about, you know, with the idea, obviously, that number one Red Bank Catholic had lost, it kind of opened the door to those conversations. Who is going to be the number one team? And both our friends from the Asbury Park Press and our own Shore Sports Network top 10 poll both put Jackson at number one. Surprised by that at all?
No, I'm not surprised. You know, the only other team that I thought possibly could be number one was Brick, believe it or not, even though Manalapan was the last week the number two team in the Shore. But there were teams this week that were rated 1, 2, 3, and 4 that dropped in the rankings even after they won their football games. Those are the teams I kind of feel sorry for. But because of that upset of RBC, and you had to call it an upset even though you said Jackson is a very good team, but because of that victory by Jackson, you had to make them, you know, number one. They will have an opportunity, if both get by this first round, to play each other. They will settle it on the field. That's where it should be settled. The scenario for number one in December, after the playoffs, are many, and we can't even get into them yet. Let's let the games be played.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that could still be determined. And again, let's be honest with it. The only people who really pay attention to it right now are us, and I know that the players will pay attention to it because kids will certainly be kids, and it does make it fun. But, you know, if you told any player right now going into the state playoffs, do you want to be, you know, whatever number in the Shore Conference poll, or are you that more concerned about winning a state championship? They're going to say, give me my state championship.
You got that.
Even if, even let's say Jackson won a state championship, they stay number one,
right.
And Red Bank Catholic, if they could work their way through that minefield in their bracket, if they won it, sure, they'd be disappointed, but they'd be thrilled that they walked away with the state championship.
I agree, totally.
So it doesn't really all that much matter. So, we didn't spend a ton of time on stuff from last week. By the time we get to this Thursday, we just highlight some of the more interesting stuff that takes place. What we will do right now is take our first time out of the night, and when we come back, we will get the first guest up and running. Looking forward to talking to these guys down from Neptune High School, head coach Rodney Taylor, and his two-way lineman Andrew Holland Samuels, all after this quick pause. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here, our second segment of the night and our first feature of the night. Head coach Rodney Taylor and his two-way lineman, Andrew Holland Samuel, is good enough to come down and give us some time here, make the drive down the parkway. Coach, Andrew, thanks so much for coming down. How are you guys doing tonight?
Thank you. We're doing good.
It's nice to have you down. And, Coach, I'll start with you. You know, first-year head coach, and, boy, you guys couldn't have picked a better time to start peaking because right now, the way that you have played over the course of the last several weeks, you've won five straight. You've got to be feeling pretty confident with the direction that your team's headed right now.
Definitely confident in the way the team's headed. They've been working very hard all year. We're finally getting into a nice little groove. Hopefully the momentum takes us into the playoff on a high note.
Neptune right now 6-2. They are the number four seed in Central Jersey Group 4. The top four teams are all Shore Conference teams. Middletown South, the top seed. Brick, the two. Jackson, the three. And Neptune as the four. Andrew, for you, as a two-way starter, you play both sides of the line. This is a nice feeling right now because, you know, go back to the way that the year started. I know you won that first game against Ocean, but then all of a sudden you lose two in a row. And I'm sure, I've been around long enough to know that people in Neptune can question things pretty quickly. They're probably saying, oh, boy, new head coach, and now all of a sudden we're 1-2. But the season's over, but yet you guys were able to have been, as I said to Coach, you guys been able to put together a great run here.
Yeah. It's all about buying in. Everybody's bought in. Everybody's playing at a high intensity. We're just getting the job done.
Coach, a Neptune graduate. You played for one of the legendary coaches, not only in the Shore, but in the state, John Amabile.
Yes, sir.
What did you learn from him that has made you a better head coach?
Coach John Amabile brought a great deal of discipline to the team, and that's what I bring in his spirit. May he rest in peace. He's a great man, great individual. And he taught me a lot about being disciplined and just working your tail off. And we got these kids working at a high pace right now.
Okay, you've been at Neptune for, 9 years, I believe, right?
Yes.
As an assistant.
Yes,
and now finally take over from Mark Ciccatelli, who moved on to St. John Vianney. Tell me the difference between being that assistant coach and being the head man. Besides the phone calls.
Besides the behind-the-scenes stuff. You finally get a chance to truly put your mark on the program and what you want to bring to the table. And it has a lot to do with things beyond the X and O's. And I'm privileged to be able to lead these young men in the direction that I want them to go in.
It's always good to come back to your alma mater, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I love it. Neptune through and through.
You know, tremendous school, great facilities. They've got it all there. Tremendous athletic programs. Andrew, captain of this team.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
A possible championship team. What are those duties involved, being a captain? I mean, you got to be the leader out there among a lot of guys. I mean, what do you got, 60 guys on the team, maybe?
Right? 70.
70, there you go.
Well, you just got to lead everybody by setting an example. Not talking back to the coaches, being positive all the time, and not just being late to practice. but keeping a positive attitude.
Andrew, what is different about Coach Taylor from what you guys had been used to him as someone who wasn't the head coach to now being the head coach? Because, you know, you can take that role as being an assistant where you can almost kind of be friendly and buddies to the guys as someone who can kind of bounce things off so that, you know, it's not always through the head coach. But now all of a sudden he's the same guy, but he's probably a different guy all wrapped into one. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, he's brought the team to a more family-oriented team. Everybody's more comfortable with each other. He's someone who I've known for a while now, and I feel, like, very comfortable playing with him.
Rodney Taylor and Andrew Holland Samuels giving us some time here. Neptune getting set to take on Middletown South as part of the opening round of the Central Jersey Group 4 bracket. Scarlet Flyers, after a 1-2 start, they are 6-2 right now in the season. Ed.
We're actually going to take on Friel Burrow first.
Oh, Friel Burrow, my mistake. Friel Burrow, my mistake.
He's the play-by-play guy. You know, he calls him as he sees him. But anyway, my question to you is, what do you think, you know, everything just clicked? For me, I think it was the Long Branch game. You're facing a kid who had 1,800 yards, Demir Willis, okay? You held him to what, under 20 yards, right, Coach?
18,
okay. Oh,
not under 20.
Not
18.
Under 20, it's 18. I believe 18. That's under 20. But anyway, I thought that was the turnaround point. Even though it was like, what, the seventh game of the year, I thought that's what said, okay, this defense under Jeremy Bellina, and I want you to talk a little bit about him. He's your defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Made the emphasis right there.
Well, you got to understand, we didn't have Royal Moore,
Royal
our free
Moore,
safety
who came
quarterback,
over from Ocean.
Who
All
came
right.
from Ocean for four games. We had a few guys sitting the injuries through a couple games. We had a couple discipline issues we had to deal with early. So we didn't truly get into a full rhythm until around that time. And finally, we have all of our parts together, and they're finally clicking as one unit, which is always a beautiful thing. And like you said, Coach Jeremy Bellina has done an outstanding, another John Amabile, you know,
disciple,
has done a phenomenal job getting that defense together and having them work as a unit. The whole staff, though, two Aichetta brothers who played at Montclair, and Brian Duffy,
who's your offensive
who's
coordinator?
Who's my offensive coordinator. Mike Sieber works with the quarterbacks. I got a couple young coaches working with the JV squad, and Mora, who played out in FDU, and Vinny Aichetta, who also went to Montclair, and then some young guys with the freshmen. They're just Neptune guys through and through, and it's worked out great for us.
Yeah, you mentioned Brian Duffy.
Yes.
You don't see many offensive line coaches being offensive coordinators. Now, Brian Duffy is a Brick Memorial graduate,
yes.
Outstanding All-State player there. Went on to play at Rutgers University, big-time
yes.
program. Played or coached under Mark Ciccatelli to a state championship, you yep. know. Stayed on with you.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot for you and your program to keep him there. He very easily could have gone to St. John Vianney with Mark Ciccatelli.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Brian and what he adds as the offensive line coach.
As the offensive line coach, he brings a tremendous amount of experience. And you would think, like you said, they're not known for being coordinators, but he has coached every position throughout his career
right.
on the offensive side of the ball. And he works very well with Aichetta, Frank Aichetta, who also works with the offensive line, and Mike Stevens, who works with the skill positions. And they have put together an offense to fit our personnel that has worked for us so far.
Andrew, you must love it. I mean, there's one of your own. There's an offensive lineman who's calling the plays. He probably understands a little bit more because, you know, I'm always excited, whether it's, you know, at the high school level or the college level, some of the games I cover, when you talk to the offensive lineman, it's that position that, you know, unless you do something wrong, no one really notices you because no one's coming up to you, you know, in the stands. If someone scores a touchdown, it's always, boy, what a great run. What about the guy who set the block up? I would think having someone like Coach Duffy who understands the process of being an offensive lineman makes it all that much easier for you.
Yeah, having somebody like Coach Duffy, he sees all the technical stuff going on. So he's always there to tweak it when I'm having a problem. And he always gives me good advice, you know, on game.
You play both sides of the ball, offense and defense. What's your preference?
Stay in shape.
Stay in shape? I mean, what side of the ball would you rather play on?
I'd rather play on defense.
Defense?
You know, any guest we've ever had,
nobody says offense. Nobody says offense.
Unless the quarterback, you know. But as a lineman, yeah, defense, you know, you can move around out there, you just hit people, you know. It's tough when those defensive linemen are moving around on offense. But, Andrew, I'm going to mention Demir Willis. This week, it's a different kid, Josh Dixon, another 1,000-yard rusher. He's had a tremendous season. Tell us a little bit about the preparation for Freehold this week.
Basically, swarming to the ball, getting in all our gaps, make sure everything's on point, playing at a high intensity, you know, make sure everybody's mind is right. We got to come to this game knowing that we got to back just as good, and we got to bring the same type of intensity to him.
I was just going to say, man, how about the school? I mean, are they behind you? You getting the kids out at the games and stuff? Is the morale in the school, the pep rally and so on, everything going on?
Oh, definitely. We got the right fans. We got this thing called a varsity club where there's a lot of people that come and show out that's played varsity in other sports, but they bring a lot of people out with them.
Great.
And they definitely come out to support.
Flyer Nation.
Mm-hmm. Flyer Nation.
Flyer Nation.
Coach, you know, this is it's a Freehold team, which is the opposite, really, of you guys, where you had some early season problems. They were rolling early on, mm-hmm. and now they've hit a couple of speed bumps. As you watch them on film, what kind of team do you see?
I see a very good team that we have to have come with our A game in order to beat. The Josh Dixon kid, I've watched him play all 4 years there, and he is an outstanding back. He's probably the best back in the shore. And we're going to have to put together a grade-A performance in order to limit what he does. And the quarterback is good, too, man. He makes a lot of plays on his feet.
Neptune will take on Freehold Borough, part of the opening round of the Central Jersey Group 4 playoffs in the 4-5 matchup with top seed Middletown South, likely awaiting the winner. You know, coaches, as you look at the bracket, you know, and I'm sure everyone obviously wants to win it, but it does make you feel good as a Shore Conference coach to basically look up and down there and say, this is basically a Shore Conference bracket all the way through.
It's a Shore Conference battle through and through. It's a loaded battle, bracket through and through. It's a lot of good teams in our group, and we're just excited to be a part of it in a race. And we're competitors, man. We like to compete week in and week out. Our group was competitive. Our division was competitive. And we're excited about what's going on, and we're excited about this game Saturday.
You know, Ed, the one other team that we hadn't mentioned, part of the bracket, is Middletown North, who will take on Jackson at the bottom of Princeton and Burlington Township as the 7 and the 8. Andrew, as you guys went through the season and kept getting better, and then you got to the point over the course of the last couple of weeks where you're basically blowing some teams out, is there any a worry of being overconfident or a little bit, or do the coaches kind of squash that pretty quick?
They definitely squash that pretty quick.
They don't let you have any fun. That's kind of what you're telling me right now. There's no fun at Neptune, even though you're winning and you're 6-2.
No, there's definitely fun, but the coaches always keep us humbled and know that we have to go out every game and give it our all.
Well, you're certainly rolling into these playoffs, and we talked off the air when you got here, Rodney. By far the toughest public school division, possibly in the state. I don't care what anybody throws at you up north, but this Central Jersey Group 4 bracket is tough. The only good thing about it is you don't have to beat them all, right?
Absolutely.
You only got to beat two of them to get yourself to the final.
Absolutely. Beat two.
And you're in the finals.
We're going to work hard, man. Like you said, it's a tough bracket.
Right.
And we're excited about the competition, man. It should be fun. This is what football is all about.
You know, Coach, you're one of those, and we kind of opened up the show, Neptune, one of those still traditional teams that plays on Thanksgiving. And we're not going to make this about Thanksgiving, but we've been of the thinking that, you know, it makes more sense to have teams play their games or at least be at the same level. But Neptune's one of those old-school programs who still likes to lace them up on Turkey Day. You think that there will ever be a point that goes away?
Not if I have anything to say about it. I mean, although I understand the concept of not doing it, you have to really be in that rivalry game to understand how electrifying and the feeling behind it.
Of course, it's Asbury Park.
It's Asbury Park, and it does more. It's more than just football on that field. That's the game that helps unite our two communities, which are right next door to each other.
Well, let me ask you this. Would it be so different if you played during the season as opposed to on Thanksgiving?
I'm a traditional guy, man. I want to play on Thanksgiving.
But that's didn't really answer my question. You're dodging the media.
Would it make a big difference? I don't know.
No. You put Neptune and Asbury on the field at any given time, it's going to be the same emotion, the same intensity.
Andrew, I mean, obviously as players, too, you look forward to that game. But my point is kind of that now you're in the middle of this great season so far, 6-2, that could be interrupted, essentially, by playing in the state playoffs, and then you've got to play another game that you've got to get up. It makes it kind of difficult, I would think, as a player that, you know, you play your eight, then you've got potentially two games, and then you got to go back and play a regular season game. And maybe I'm overthinking it. As a player, you're just happy to go out there and play.
Yeah, as a player, I'm just happy to go out there and play football, leave it out there with my team. And we always look forward to any game. So whatever comes in our way, we love to play.
You were wise there. You didn't say anything about Thanksgiving or Asbury.
Coach
would give you a quick elbow, say, we got to worry about Freehold Borough first. Guys, we do appreciate you coming down here. I love the fact that you started off a little bit slow and have come on so fast. And right now have to be considered among the favorites in this bracket. I know it's going to be wide open. You know, as we said, the six of the top eight teams in the bracket, all from the Shore Conference. It's a great representation of the football that we play around here. We wish you, obviously, nothing but the best of luck coming against Freehold Borough and down the way.
Thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, Coach Rodney Taylor, Andrew Holland Samuel's giving us some time here. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll cross county borders and jump back down into Ocean County, talk some Lakewood Pinar football with head coach L.J. Clark and their senior quarterback, Chappelle Cook. Right after this quick pause, you're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Back here, our second feature segment of the night, and as we say good evening to L.J. Clark, the fourth-year head coach of Lakewood, and his outstanding senior quarterback, Chappelle Cook. Guys, thanks for coming down. If I didn't know any better, Chappelle, I'm going to start with you. Was that just a quick message to someone like, hey, make sure you're listening to us on the radio or watching online or whatever it could be?
I want to make sure everybody listening to us and want to hear what we got to say.
Yeah, obviously we broadcast live at 1160, 1310 a.m. You can check us out on the web at shoresportsnetwork.com with the video stream here tonight. Chappelle, we'll start with you this time around. Give me an assessment of your season. You know, four wins, four losses. You can say, well, it's... You know, anytime I look and say that, you can say, well, it's just been one of those years where things, sometimes they've gone our way, sometimes they haven't, but you guys able to qualify and get yourself a spot in Central Jersey Group 2.
Yeah, you know, it's been a little shaky. I mean, we started off strong, but, you know, we faced a little adversity. You know, that's just something we always got to persevere through, you know. That's what we build ourselves on, just fighting through things like that, you know. But luckily, we're in the playoffs, and like my coach said, you don't need to be one of the handsomest guys. What'd you say?
I said
something about the dance.
You only need to see.
He was trying to tell you in a way you're not all that good looking.
No.
I think.
No.
The thing I say to the kids is this: the dance with the pretty girl in the club or the dance. You only need a ticket to get in.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Once you got the ticket to get in, I mean, listen, we're 4-4. Last time I checked, at this time of the year, you get a new record because if you lose, you're out. So everybody's 0-0 right now.
That's why they call it the second season, right? Everybody starts 0-0.
Lakewood will take on Roselle, who is the top seed in the bracket. LJ, you know, just to follow up on the same kind of question, I would imagine, you know, frustrating for the players, frustrating for the coaches a little bit because, as Chappelle kind of led into, you guys started off the year 3-0 and were 4-1. At some point, you had to deal with some adverse type situations, off the field type stuff, which in a lot of cases can essentially blow up a program. But you guys have been able to hang in there.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, anytime you lose, you know, caliber of players that we lost, I don't care if you're Group One, Group Two, or Group Three, it's going to affect the program. And you know, easily our kids could have just packed it in, and we could have just lost the rest of the games. But there's no shame when we lost. I mean, anybody who was at the Rumpton game. I got three good Division One kids. Two got hurt in the first quarter. It's 20-12 with a fourth down and two on the 5-yard line going in to tie the game with 2 minutes left in the game. We lose. Barnegat, we lose by a 2-point conversion, 24-22. You know, I mean, Point Barrow, we were banged up, but I take nothing away from Coach Henry. They do a good job. I mean, at the end of the day, it's short conference football. You got to bring your best game every game, and. You know, I tell the kids all the time, you have to be humble, or you will be humbled. And we're just staying humble right now, and we're just grateful to be in the playoffs.
Coach, you know, in your fourth year, besides the X's and O's part, I think what you have added to this program at Lakewood is stability. You know, they had gone through, you know, coach here, coach there, a couple years, 1 year. You know, then Warren Wolf took it over for a couple years, and I know you coached under him. But you've added the stability. You're a Lakewood grad. You are in the hallways every day. You get these kids out for the team. Your numbers have gone up drastically since you've been there. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, you know, me and Coach were just talking about, you know, my main goal as a coach is to get the kids into college. The wins and losses are great. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win the state championship. But the bigger number I have that I'm most impressed with and proud of, the number, the last 2 years I've had two kids get Division I scholarships and go to school for free. This year I'll have two. Chevelle will be going to University of Temple, and Detrell Reed either will go to Villanova or William & Mary, which are outstanding universities. And I have another senior, Anthony Terry, who's most likely to go to East Stroudsburg. That's the numbers I'm impressed with. You know, what about all? I mean, you can go 10-1 and no one goes to school and no one betters their lives.
Right.
We're an educator. I mean, God's put me in this position to have a power over these kids. And, you know, I just want to do the right thing by them and get them into college and getting their lives better. That's the main goal.
Chappelle, as you sit here, and I'm sure you hear it all the time, but sit here and listen to your coach kind of talk about his philosophy. You know, in Lakewood, which can be a tough place to be a student athlete because of a lot of different types of circumstances, but it's got to be somewhat refreshing in a way to sit here and listen to the guy who's in charge of your football program talk about, we want to get guys not just better on the field, we're more concerned with getting guys better for their life.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Elder, he always reiterates the fact that, you know, he wants us not just to be football players, he wants to be great men. He wants us always in the classroom, always on time. You know, he's, like I said, like he said, you know, he's in the hallway. So if we're in the hallway, he's in the hallway, and he sees it. So him having that job in the school, you know, it's just like, that's, I'm seeing blinks in my head.
That's all right.
But
I'll say this, 4 years that he's been coach and you've been there, you haven't figured out a different path to take in the hallways so you can kind of duck him every once in a while?
I mean, just recently he's really been in the hall, but he's very heavy, you know. Every time the bell rings, you see him right in front of your face, like, let's go, let's get to class. So him being there and me being a senior, you know, I also push everybody else to get to class, like the underclassmen and people like that. But I just try to be a leader as much as I can.
LJ, talk about your quarterback as that guy. As he just describes himself, saying, I try to be a leader too. Is that something that you can see and the players can see on your team?
Absolutely. I mean, not to get off topic, what he said about being in the hallway, Chappelle's senior load, you know, we talk about student athletes pretty heavy. You know, people don't know that he scored very good on his SATs and he has a 3.1 in honors classes. So, you know, he doesn't have the luxury to hang out in the hallways as, you know, not anybody does, but he has to get to class and do. But to get back to what you were saying, I mean, not to harp on a dead issue, but he had a very good very good person to follow in Tyrese Beverett. You know, he kind of paved the way for our kids to show everybody to do the right thing and how to do it. And, you know, those kids kind of feed it off of him. And, again, if they have something in front of them, you know, he's a very good role model for them. So they just took his persona and how approached life, you know, school, grades, sports. And, you know, it trickles down from him and Detrell Reed and Aunt Terry. Our senior class did a very good job. You know, like, again, we faced some serious adversity this year that a lot of other teams would have just crumbled under. And, you know, we rallied together. And, like I said, we're in the second part of our season. And even though we're the eighth seed, we expect to win. You know, and I'm not going to renege on my word, like I said, in the beginning of the year. Every year we've gotten better and better, and we expect to win the state championship this year.
Chappelle, let's talk a little bit about your season specifically. You moved from tailback to quarterback to take better use of your talents. I would guess that was the reason, Coach, right? You've run it for 916 yards so far and 13 touchdowns. You've passed it for almost 750 yards for 3 more touchdowns. You could run it. You could pass it. Tell us about that move from tailback when they told, Coach said, hey, you're going to the QB spot.
You know, I played a little QB, you know, when Tyrese was here, and also last year, too. But when he told me I had to step into the role, you know, I'm just like, you know, let's do it. Let's get it. You know, I'm ready to work. And I went right into working to my craft. You know, they work so hard. They work so hard with me in the offseason, not just being the athlete, but really focusing on being a real quarterback, you know, all the way down to my steps, focusing on getting my steps right, my shoulder around, you know. They just focus on me really trying to be a quarterback. And I feel like being a quarterback, you know, you really feel like a leader, like you're a leader of the offense, you're a leader of the team. And I was just able to accept the role and be able to do what I got to do.
Now, I know you've talked to the coach at Temple. Where do you foresee yourself playing at Temple? Has he told you, given you any indication?
Actually, I just got off the phone with him before I got here. But, you know, me being the type of athlete I am, he told me they're looking at me to be as the weak side linebacker when I get there, being that I'm, I don't know, that's where they want me to play. But,
coach, you can do it on either side, right?
I mean, it's, you know, right now he's at a couple. He has two offers for running back, but majority of his offers have been from defense, you know, outside linebacker.
Right.
You know, some a couple, you know, bigger schools like Pitt, they like him at like Mike, you know, because, you know, 6'2", 220, runs a 4.5, and they just think, you know, us high school coaches don't know what we're doing. They can make him into, you know.
Most college coaches feel like that. That's
all right. That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Chappelle, I can run a 4.52, but it's 30 yards, not 40. You got me by a couple of steps. So let's talk about what you guys have coming up, obviously, this weekend. You'll take on the top seed in the bracket, Roselle. Chappelle, as you kind of maybe watch him and break down some film, what kind of team are you guys expecting to see?
You know, there's some athletes, you know. They're great. They're a great team. They got great players. You know, they're well coached. big play threats at all times of the game. You know, at any time of the game, they can score. We could have a 8-play, 7-minute drive, and they'll come back and score in 10 seconds. So, you know, we gotta try and reduce the big plays and create turnovers, and hopefully, you know, we come out with the W.
Coach, they're 6-2 coming in, but that's kind of deceiving. They've lost to a Cranford team that's undefeated 9-0 and a Summit team that's 8-1, both top seeds in their own individual bracket. So, as Chappelle said, they're home run. They got some home run threats, huh?
Absolutely. You know, I was joking with Coach before we came in. They remind us a lot of when we were in the playoffs versus Neptune. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of empty. They got a kid who can sling it. A lot of athletes that can score in open space. The main thing what we've done all year is that we can run the ball. You know, when we have Chappelle and Amir, that, you know, that's two Division One athletes that they have to tackle. And our offensive line, you know, they pride themselves, which we've done a really good job. Even in the games we lost, we've ran the ball excellently. I mean, Chappelle had 215 yards running versus Bumpson, and with Amir out. So everybody knew in the stadium he was getting the ball. So we're just going to play our game. We just can't turn the ball over. And we have to, our best defense is going to be is our offense, is running the ball, controlling the clock. And, as much as they don't want to play us, we don't want to play them, they didn't want to get us either.
Right.
You know, we're not the typical 4-4 team that you see as an 8 seed, especially in a group two bracket, which is heavily favored with Rumson team. And we feel as, you know, we had Rumson, you know, we were in a dogfight with Rumson. And they were the best in that bracket, so we should be able to handle ourselves very good. Again, a lot of things have to happen. We have to execute our plan, and a couple of things have to go wrong for them. But we feel very confident in our scheme, and of all my coaches, I have a great staff. They come up with a plan for this week, so we expect to go down there and shock the world.
L.J. Clark and Chappelle Cook here talking some Lakewood football. The Pioneers will take on Roselle in the opening round of the Central Jersey Group 2 bracket. Coach, for you, fourth year in as the head coach, so really all these guys now have essentially become your guys. Good seasons after a start at the beginning part of your career under 500, but real good years the last couple of years. Do you feel like you're at the point right now where maybe you're comfortable as the head coach, and I don't mean comfortable, you don't have to kick, you just get to kick back. I mean comfortable where everyone in that building knows that this is L.J. Clark's program as the head coach of Lakewood football.
In some instances, but, you know, the big joke is when you coach at Lakewood, they're like dog years. So I've been there for four, so what's that? What's that make me?
28?
28. You know, but, I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, I'm a homegrown Lakewood kid. it means the world to me to see Lakewood do successful things and kids like Chappelle and Dottrell and Tyrese and Mo Diawara, you know, be great ambassadors for our school. And I think it's more important, kind of like what Ed said, that the stability. You know, the kids know that I'm going to be there no matter what, and I'm not going to turn away from them. I'm not going to turn my back on them. I'm not going to leave them. And I think that's a huge, huge, huge component of why we've been winning, because it's that look that the younger kids, I can't wait to play for Coach LJ. I can't wait to wear the pine or blue. Where, you know, a couple of years ago, like you said, I was on the staff that lost 33 straight games.
Right.
You know.
Well, you've changed the perception, really, is what you've mm-hmm. done of what Lakewood football is all about. Because as you said, and not to be disrespectful at all, no. I think at some point we said a couple of years ago, several years ago, just in conversation, how is Lakewood even going to continue to field a football program anymore?
It was serious talks of, you know, getting rid of the program. And, when Coach Wolf came in, he couldn't believe how it was, you know, coming from a historic program like Brick. And, you know, he helped me a lot in learning how to be a coach and just being a better person. You know, he taught me how to be a better person. It's not really the X's and O's, just treat people better and do stuff as you would treat kids as they're their own kids. You know, the best thing I learned from Coach Wolf is he would scream and yell at someone, but he'd never let someone leave the field without telling them he loved them or he was there for them. You know, and a lot of these kids, you know, we don't want to sugarcoat anything. A lot of these kids come from broken homes and single-family homes, and I'm the only positive male that they get to see or truly cares about them. And, you know, the joke is that they'll run through the brick wall for me. But in reality, I'll run through the brick wall for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my kids. I would let them stay in my house. I'd give them my last dollar, and I would give them the shirt off my back, and they know that. And, you know, at the end of the day, anybody with kids knows you just got to show love to kids, man.
Yeah. You know, Matt, I see LJ periodically over the winter. He coaches the freshman basketball team at Lakewood, obviously one of the premier basketball programs in the state, Lakewood Piners. But he coaches the freshman team, so I'll see him at a game here and there. We never talk basketball. Yeah. See that kid in the third row? He's coming out this year, you know, 6'3", 240 pounds. See the kid out there starting, you know, making layups out there? He's playing football this year. It's always so positive about the kids that he's drawing out of the school that never maybe even had a thought about playing football. I love when I see LJ and we start talking football in February, you know, in January, right?
Absolutely. You know, and just a credit to Coach Holmes, you know.
Right.
I mean, you talk about being around legends. You know, and I got to coach basketball under Coach John Pop Richardson and Randy Holmes, who runs one of the best programs. You know, I'm a little biased. I think he's the best coach in short conference, whether it's football or basketball. You know, and again, I've learned from him, and he's been a big, big supporter of why Lakewood's turned around in football, because he pushes the basketball players to come out for football. And you look at the similar schools as the Neptunes, the Asburys, who win in basketball and win in football. Why is that? Because they share athletes. Where, and sometimes a lot of those basketball players weren't playing football, you know. And we work hand in hand. Like today, they had a basketball meeting. Coach said, hey, they're going to be a little late to practice. I said, no problem, coach. Mm-hmm. You know, we're friends on and off. But he's such a big supporter, and he runs such a great program. It helps me so much just to become, you know, a better coach and a better man at that.
Is that a basketball? See that?
It's a state champion jacket.
He's got a basketball jacket on. That's smart. You can tell coach, like, you know, I was down talking football, but I have my basketball jacket on. That'll work.
I didn't have my football jersey, so I figured I'd grab something that said Lakewood on it.
Yeah, so I didn't get to wash them yet.
So, Chappelle, for you, you know, talk about the recruiting process a little bit. Has it been something that you have enjoyed over the course of, you know, the last year and this year even more so?
Yeah, I mean, of course it was enjoyable. I mean,
it can be stressful, though, too.
Yeah. I mean, feeling wanted is always a good feeling. I mean, like last year during the recruiting process, I mean, it was coaches coming in every day, every period of the day. I couldn't even really get
work done. I didn't even get a lunch from March to June. It's Division I. I mean, from Stanford all the way down. You can name it because he has such good grades.
It was crazy. It was overwhelming by far. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I felt comfortable with my decision, you know. I committed to Temple. I'm Temple made. We the T.
when you think about some of the guys that Coach talked about, you know, a Tyrese or somebody like that who's made that step to a Division I school, did you lean back on any of those guys at all and maybe talk to them about the process that they went through, or did you let your own road develop as your own road would?
I mean, like he said, Tyrese paved the way for me, you know. Tyrese was probably one of the greatest leaders I've ever seen, ever, just eyes on, you know. He taught me the way to go. He taught me, like, how hard to work, seeing him, how hard he worked and what he did in the classroom, you know, it just pushed me to be the type of athlete I am today. And, you know, on top of that, you know, my mom, she pushes me. Coach pushes me. You know, everybody pushes me. I got a lot of weight on my shoulders, and I just did what I had to do, and now I'm lucky to be committed to Temple.
Well, certainly very impressed by listening to you down here. You know, sometimes athletes forget about the student part, and obviously for you, you have not done that. Congratulations on making that decision. Enjoy your game on Friday. You know, start of the state playoffs for you guys. Should be a lot of fun. Coach, thanks for coming down again.
We always
love talking to you and bringing this young man with you as well. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
LJ Clark, Chappelle Cook on our Investors Bank High School football show. We step out for our top of the hour break. When we come back, head coach Kevin Callahan will talk some Monmouth University football. We'll do it after this quick pause live on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Back here for our second hour or half hour, as it would be, as we take you right up until 8:30. Matt Harmon and Ed Saraluki here on our Investors Bank High School football show. But we take a pause at the top of each 8 o'clock hour and talk some college stuff with the head coach of the Monmouth University Hawks. He is Kevin Callahan, who's good enough to give us a few minutes tonight, as he always does. And, Coach, so far, you know, the Big South has been tough for Monmouth. Some very competitive games, including last week against Liberty. And this week, just kind of an everyday run-of-the-mill type game against Coastal Carolina, right?
Yeah, you can say that again. As you know, Matt, Coastal Carolina is number one in the nation. They just achieved that ranking this last week. And I'll tell you what, our guys are excited to go down there and play. You know, it's not often, it's never, that we've had the opportunity to face the number one team in the nation. And, you know, we're really excited about it.
You know, and I think that was a theme that we could carry over from last week, too. Very excited against Presbyterian, not to say that a team is never excited to go out, but a tough one against Charleston Southern. And a good bounce back, even in a loss last week to Liberty, just by the spirit and the attitude that the players had, really kind of carried you through into what developed into a really good football game against the Flames.
Well, Matt, you know, as you know, it was a terrific atmosphere to play in. That venue that they have to showcase their college football team at Liberty is probably one of the top places in the country on the FCS level. And, you know, our players really got caught up in the excitement. They really enjoyed it. It's not often that they get to play, you know, home or away in a stadium of that capacity in a terrific venue like that. And, you know, even though we were under shorthanded a little bit with some guys out with injuries, I thought our players gave a tremendous effort. They played extremely hard. And, you know, we went toe-to-toe with a really, really good football team for the better part of 60 minutes.
Well, speaking of really, really good football teams, this Coastal Carolina team has got two big-time players, Alex Ross and Quinn Backus, the preseason offensive and defensive players of the year in the Big South. Tell us a little bit about those two and how do we stop them.
Well, the first thing I can say, Ed, is that's not all they have, but they do have those two terrific players. You know,
right.
First of all, on defense, Quinn Back is just a superb football player. He's not overly big. He might be what you would call undersized for a linebacker, but he's got great football instincts, and he's always at the right place, and he's always in on the tackle. They use him in a variety of ways. Coastal Carolina loves to bring pressure, and he's one of the ways in which they bring it, and he's got a number of tackles for loss. and he just has a great way of fitting himself into the run game, and he's just a terrific player. Got outstanding quickness for a linebacker. Reminds me a lot of a guy who used to play for us, Joe Centipol. Same type player, very physical, mm-hmm. very quick, fast. And we're going to have our hands full with him. You know, we've got to hope that we can keep them off balance as a defense from a schematic standpoint, get him into some alignments where he can't really maybe directly impact or influence what we're going to be doing, and hopefully we can take advantage of some things there. And on the offensive side, the quarterback is he's the guy that their offense runs through, and they're a very high-scoring, prolific offensive attack. And they are because they have weapons at every position. They have two of the top receivers in the Big South. They have an excellent running back. And the quarterback himself, who we're talking about here, Alex Ross, does a great job of bringing all of those things together. They mix a little bit of option with some downfield throws, with a power run game, some gap scheme. And they're quite an operation, I can tell you that.
Coach, this is a Coastal Carolina program that – Monmouth will actually be playing for the third time. Played them in 2008, played them also in 2009, and both of those games fairly competitive. But I feel like since that point in 2009, they have become one of the schools that you could point to and say they have made an absolute full commitment to becoming a power at the FCS level. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say, Matt, and there is no doubt about that. They've had a change in coaching staffs. Coach Moglia has come in, spent some time at the University of Nebraska, and before that, throughout the Northeast, and they've made a full commitment to winning the FCS National Championship. You can see it, you know, first and foremost in their facilities, a complete renovation of their stadium, of their locker rooms, of their football building. And the way that they're going about just funding their program. They're not relying on any outside funds, any guarantee games to provide financial support for what they do. They're doing it all in-house. And they've made a firm commitment to it. But you can't take away from what their players do. They have outstanding athletes. They do a great job coaching them. We saw that last year in the deep run they made into the FCS playoffs. They're an excellent football team, and you know what? I'm excited. I'm excited to go down and play them.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about the offense last week. How about the play calling with the reverse pass first series of the game by Matt Choi, 68-yard touchdown pass to Velez? Where did that come from? What page of the playbook
was
that?
Well, I know you had Matt Choi on your scouting report, Ed. You were looking out for him. Matt Choi was one of our younger guys, you know, first time playing this year that has really stepped up last week. And, you know, we were using a lot of different formations and a lot of different motions were in our game plan. And Kevin Morris really put together a great package. And one of those happened to be a reverse to the wide receiver, Matt Choi, who threw a deep pass to our tight end, Hakeem Vallis. And it was an explosive play that went for a touchdown. And I think that play really ignited us in the game. Our players really believed that, hey, we're going to do some things today. And from that point forward, every time that the Coastal would make a play or get a score, we would answer back and get a score. And it went that way back and forth through all of three quarters and even into the fourth quarter. And it was I'll tell you what, it was a great game to be on the sideline for. I know our players didn't enjoy not winning it, but I know that they understand that they belong in the Big South.
Coach, let me ask you this. I mean, you talk about just the team having a little bit of a different bounce in their step last week. How does the coaching staff, the leadership on the team, how do you continue to keep everybody motivated? I understand it's easy to say it's a football game and you're supposed to be motivated and you're a Division I athlete. But, you know, as teams go through losing streaks, sometimes it is somewhat difficult to keep everybody focused. But listening to you talk as often as we do, I don't get a sense that's where your football team is at right now.
Not at all. I mean, if anything, Matt, the opposite is true. We've seen, you know, we saw in the Presbyterian game, we saw last week down at Liberty against a very good football team, a team that's beaten FBS opponents this year, that we belong on the field. And as our guys get back and look at it on Sunday, they say, okay, this series right here, this one series, we had some breakdowns, and that was the deciding factor in the game, or that led to the go-ahead score. in this series right here, we had this turnover, and that had a tremendous impact on the game. And they also, they're smart enough to understand you take those things away, and you don't let them get those big plays at the critical junctures, and we come out on top. So our kids have a lot of belief. They're very positive. They know, hey, we're getting better each week. And we were better at Liberty than we were at Charleston than we were at Presbyterian. And as long as we continue that, you know, that those wins are going to come our way.
Coach Mobley is not listening. Give us an update on Neil Sterling. Is he a go this week?
He's a go. He's practiced all this week. He was non-contact early in the week. Okay. But he'll be good to go. Eric Sumlin will be good to go. Kevin Butler will be good to go. Most of the six guys who were out last week will be back in the lineup.
Great. Coach, we obviously appreciate the time. Looking forward to watching this one up close and personal. A game, as always, that you can hear on the Shore Sports Network, 1160, 1310, shoresportsnetwork.com. The kickoff is set down in Conway, South Carolina, just a little west of Myrtle Beach on Saturday afternoon. And, Coach, looking forward to see if Monmouth can keep that, you know, positive momentum moving forward. This one should be a lot of fun to be a part of. Thanks, as always, for giving us a couple minutes.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
That is Kevin Callahan. The Hawks will take on the number one team in the country, Coastal Carolina. Again, the broadcast information just listed. You can always go to our website, shoresportsnetwork.com, or the Monmouth website at monmouthhawks.com. We'll take one more final timeout. When we come back, our good buddy Scott Stump will join us. We'll break down some of the opening round activity in this weekend's playoff games around the state, everything getting up and running tomorrow night. We're back right after this quick pause on the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
The second season getting up and running tomorrow night, the opening round of the state playoffs in all of the different brackets. Bunch of Shore Conference teams, obviously, are involved. And maybe I should say, and as we welcome in Scott Stump from ShoreSportsNetwork.com, I guess, Scott, the second season kind of started tonight for a lot of teams, didn't it? Let's talk consolation games. Let's get right into it.
We got a couple NCSA consolation games, and not the second season, the end of the season for a couple teams.
That's true. For all. Yeah, that's right, unless you're playing Turkey
Day. It's an unscheduled, somewhat postseason-type feel game. I mean, who's not getting excited about some of those games that are on the schedule tonight and tomorrow?
Well, you know, I passed by Toms River South. They're under the lights tonight playing a Moorestown team that I would say if there are 300 people there, 295 don't even know where Moorestown is. So, these games are, you know, unbelievably unimportant unless you're actually playing in it and want to get a W. You know, they're just the way the state does it, I just don't agree with. But anyway, Scott, second season begins tomorrow for 24 teams in the Shore. The weather will take a turn for the worse. It's supposed to be probably the coldest night of the year tomorrow night. You know, not only do we play football in the Shore, but we also play it in West Jersey and North Jersey where snow is forecast. So the weather could be a factor in some of these games.
Yeah, and usually it comes down to teams that like to throw the ball, you know, a lot. And then you look at like maybe a St. John Vianney with Anthony Brown, although they have had a nice rushing attack this year. But, you know, a lot of people looking forward to that Anthony Brown versus Sonny Abramson matchup, the quarterback for Pope John, who has – 8 or 9 Division I offers himself. But, you know, if it's going to be 30 degrees out, catching the ball is not going to be easy. But I think if it doesn't rain, everything should be, you know, fine. It won't be the most enjoyable. I'm sure I'm going to have to duct tape some of the hot hands packets to my hands to be able to make it through. But that's playoff football.
Scott, we started the show tonight, Ed and I did, just kind of talking a little bit about what is coming up. And I made the point, and see if you agree, the teams in the South Jersey brackets, of which Toms River North, Brick Memorial play in South 5, Manasquan, Wall, Central Regional in South 3, and Barnegat in South Jersey Group 2, it would take a lot for any of those teams to walk away with a state championship. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, beyond that, it might take a lot just for them to all of them to just even get out of the first round. I would say just about all of them, except for maybe Central because they're home, would be considered the underdog. You know, Manasquan and Wall, I think, are pretty strong underdogs to Bridgeton and Delcy. You know, Cherokee, we know, is a perennially tough team down there in South Jersey. Brick Memorial has to go to their field and play them. Toms River North is the eighth seed and has to play an undefeated team. And, you know, Barnegat, without its star quarterback, has to go on the road and play another undefeated team. So, to me, I think it could be, there's the possibility that South Jersey could get wiped out pretty quickly, although, you know, I guess I would peg Central and Brick Memorial as probably the two best bets to come out and still be alive after tomorrow night.
Scott, everybody's looking forward to round two, the semifinals of a Brick-Jackson rematch. Who has a better chance of not being there?
Wow, I think both of them are pretty strong favorites tomorrow night. Middletown North is certainly dangerous. I mean, Donald Glenn, they're going to be playing Jackson. Donald Glenn, their sophomore quarterback, I was informed today, he already has the school career record for touchdown passes with 28, and he's only a sophomore. Chad Freshnock, 1,000-yard rusher for the second straight season. Troy Thompson, their great tight end linebacker. So they have some players and can score, but the thing with Middletown North is they've struggled against really, really good run games. I saw them earlier in the year against Freehold Borough and Josh Dixon, and you know that doesn't bode well when you're facing Jackson, which has, you know, a multitude of weapons and a monstrous line. And Princeton, I just don't think, has really played the schedule even close to, like, what Brick has played. And I just think Brick is really on a mission to remind people that they're the defending champs in this bracket. So I would think it would take a pretty solid, shocking upset to prevent, you know, that semifinal from happening. I think
either
just
from
about
not
pencil that in.
You know, Stumpy, that bracket, and we had Rodney Taylor from Neptune down here, one of our featured segments tonight. It is amazing when you look at the eight teams in that bracket and you see 1 through 6 all representing the Shore Conference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's to the point where it'll be absolutely stunning if a Shore Conference team doesn't win it. It's almost kind of like
doesn't
how the Shore used to dominate a lot of the Central Jersey Group 3 brackets a lot of years. A lot of those teams, now that there's a Group 5, are up in this Group 4. It's a stacked bracket for the Shore Conference, and I think you're going to see all four semifinalists be from the Shore.
Scott Stump of ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Give it us some time here. You follow him and Bob Batters for all the latest and greatest information. Nobody covers it like the two of those guys during the course of especially these types of weekends. Scott, let's talk about your alma mater, Red Bank Catholic. Obviously, the loss last week, they do and had locked up the 2 seed and non-public 3. How important would it be for them to know if they get through this game, they'd have that second game at home?
Well, it definitely helps because you don't have to take the 16-hour drive up to Montvale, which is just south of Maine. So that definitely, you know, you don't have to deal with that. But the bad news is you have to play a team that just waxed the number 1 team in the state and the number 4 team in the country, St. Joe's beating Paramus Catholic 27-0 last weekend was an eye-opener. And I think it stamped them again as the heavy favorite in a bracket they've won 3 straight years or and really have just dominated altogether over the years. For RBC, they just want to go out and have a really good performance against Bishop Eustis, get the running game back on track, shore up the run defense, get some confidence, and then just go into that St. Joe's game with nothing to lose. You'll be playing in front of your home crowd and, you know, see what happens.
You know, Scott, it's been a while that Coach Jimmy Portello has had to go to the "what do we do after a loss" speech. You know, what did he tell his players this week?
Well, I think, you know, part of it, I'm sure, is probably we're not invincible. If anybody was thinking that or was thinking that we couldn't be stopped this year, you just got a serious wake-up call, so we have to work harder. I mean, they're a team that already practices very hard, but I think up front it was a little bit of a wake-up call because Jackson Memorial's offensive line, a good-sized line, really took it to them for over 250 yards rushing. So I'm sure there's been a lot of emphasis on the front seven on defense and playing better against the run game, and then also getting their own running game back on track because, you know, Mike Cordova, with the exception of one drive in that Jackson game, most of the damage was done in the air and from plays on the ground by Eddie Hahn, their quarterback. I think they want to achieve a little bit more balance offensively, but yeah, if anything, I think it was just a wake-up call that, you know, we have to play better if we want to really get to where we need to go.
Scott, tell me where you and Bob will both be over the course of the weekend.
Tomorrow I will be, I'll actually be on the sideline not too far from Mrs. Stumpf at the Raritan Matawan Showdown in Central Jersey Group 3. And then Saturday I will be at Freehold Neptune game in Central 4. Tomorrow Bob's going to check out the Middletown North Jackson game. And then he's elected to take the drive up to Morristown Beard to watch the modern day prep Seraphs try to advance the second round in non-public Group 1.
Well, it should be an exciting weekend. It always is when these playoff games get started. Look forward to following everything via Twitter, at Scott Stumpf, and Bob Batters, obviously a great follow as well. Stumpy, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy your first weekend of playoff activity.
Same to you guys. Stay warm.
Scott Stumpf of ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Ed, about a minute or so to go here. As you look through the brackets, Central Jersey Group 5, just Manalapan in there. We've talked about Central 4. Central 3, Long Branch, would have to be considered a team that could make a pretty deep run as the second seed in that bracket.
Yeah, I do believe that. I also believe Shore, you know, who gets a rematch again with Point Pleasant Beach, a team that they beat pretty badly just a couple weeks ago. I think they can make a serious run at another state title for Mark Constantino at Shore Regional. So, you know, I think we've got some definite favorites, and, of course, it'll be a little bit more clearer next week.
Certainly Rumson, one of those teams as well. We didn't spend a whole lot of time on. Hopefully we'll be able to talk some Bulldog football next week. They are the second seed in Central Jersey Group 2, and we'll take on number 7, A.L. Johnson. As we get set to wrap things up, I want to thank our guests coming down here tonight, the guys from Neptune and, of course, the guys from Lakewood as well. Really made the show fun here tonight. Tom Tremblay as our on-site engineer. Harrison Strebbins back in the studios. Kevin Williams, our normal partner, will be back here next Thursday night. We'll be back on the air next Friday night doing a game again. Nothing this particular weekend. We do enjoy our partnership with Monmouth and invite you to check out the Hawks season opener basketball-wise. That will be tomorrow night. Eddie Acapinti will have that call for you. I'll be down Saturday in South Carolina for the Hawks football game against Coastal Carolina. Busy weekend of activity. And again, log on to ShoreSportsNetwork.com to follow all of the playoff activity during the course of the week. For Ed Zarluka, I'm Matt Harmon. Thanks so much for joining us here from the Water Street Bar and Grill, all part of our Investors High School football show, live each and every Thursday. Have a great football weekend.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.